Yes, recording in progress. And yeah, and thank you. I am enthusiastic about it. I don't know if I said I'm an alcoholic, but yes, I'm one of those too. And I have the honor and privilege of serving Western Washington Area 72 as their alternate delegate. I'm in the first year of my rotation, and it's fun. My other than like basically following our delegate around and learning all the stuff that she learns just in case I need to step in. My main job is the education of the GSRs and DCMs in Western Washington. And so putting on, you know, historically we put on different GSR schools or workshops or panels or whatever you want to call them. They've been called all those things throughout the years. And then a few years ago, we added a DCM schools and workshops and things like that, because we found out through some area inventories that our DCMs kind of felt a disconnect, and you know, just we wanted to get everybody up to speed, because as I'm sure many of you who are especially new to your GSR role, it can be a bit overwhelming, because all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but when I became a GSR, all of a sudden people assumed I knew stuff. And assumed I kind of like knew how the area functioned, knew how my district functioned, really understood the traditions, and you know, pretty well understood the concepts. And I'm like, oh, not quite, but that's okay, because that's why I put on schools like this. That's why other people do this kind of stuff, is because it's a lot to learn. It can be a bit overwhelming a lot of times. Of course, just like with most things, and I don't think it's unique to Alcoholics Anonymous, most things are, you know, it's a little bit of stuff from here, like some stuff from the service manual, some stuff from the 12 and 12, some stuff from the big book, some stuff from my service sponsor, you know, it's pulling information from all over the place. It's not in one place. So, you know, where do I start? And so it's kind of fun. I think it's really fun. But so first of all, I want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you for investing in yourself. Thank you for investing in your group. Just thank you for taking a couple hours to become a better general service representative for your group. That's a big deal. The biggest complaint I hear from folks is, you know, just going on and on about, you know, being overwhelmed, not knowing what's going on. And I'll ask, like, well, have you opened the service manual? Or did you read the pamphlet, the GSR pamphlet? Or I hear that your district put on a GSR school. Did you go? And usually the answer is no, no, and no. And we don't get this by osmosis. It's just like we didn't magically recover by reading the steps. We recovered by doing the work involved in the steps. We don't learn how to become a GSR by just being elected GSR. I wish it were the case, but no, it's an investment in yourself. So thank you. It's a big deal. I hope that I hope your group, if no one in your group says thank you, please take this thank you as a thank you from them, because it's important. And they probably won't say thank you, but that's okay. We don't do these things for thanks and praise, do we, today? We're selfless. We're selfless individuals, right? So last week, I recognize most of your faces. So most of you were here last week. So a recap is, it was really basic, laid the groundwork, the framework, like what is a general service representative, kind of where you fit in the service structure, why groups and, you know, why we have a general service representative, and, you know, basically explain the players, like what is a district, what is a district committee member, an area, the general service conference. And we kind of discussed a general calendar of events, but also I explained that every area does things completely different, it seems. We're all autonomous. And so when I say words like assembly or quarterly or area committee meeting, those oftentimes mean the exact same thing, but it just depends on what area you live in. So the best advice I have for you is, after you've come, you know, you came last week, you came today, is talk to your district committee member and and ask them, hey, are we going to be putting on some a GSR kind of school or an orientation or something locally or in our area? Because it's as important it is to learn the basics, it's really important to learn the things that are specific to your area. Just because you're serving a group within your area. And so it kind of, it's the part that I'm not going to be able to cover here with you, because we have people from probably 15 different areas sitting in here today. And so there would be 15 different hours of, you know, discussion we'd need to have to get that covered. So please talk to your DCM, your district committee member, about this, or if you already have a service sponsor and they're very familiar with your area structure, you can also talk to them. And also maybe talk to the most recent past GSR just to kind of see where to start. But those are just some suggestions on how to fill in the, there are going to be gaps, basically, is what I'm saying, in what you're learning today. So I just want to throw that out there. So today I really wanted to spend time talking about all the stuff as a GSR you get to do and how to successfully do these things. And something I want to throw out from the very start, well, there's two things. One, I said this last time, I'll say it again. If you're an alternate GSR, you don't get a pass when I say GSR. When I say GSR, I also mean alternates, because how I've been raised up in service is as an alternate GSR, you're with the GSR wherever they're at, period. That's just, if they're, you know, like, it's not like, oh, I just fill in when they can't be there. It's no, it's like on the ground, boots on the ground training for how to be a GSR. So no passes. It's just easier for me to just say GSR instead of GSR and alternate. And also everything I throw out here today is, dare I say, ideals, best practices. By no means as a GSR did I do this perfectly. By no means as a GSR did I do all of this. And also one of the things that was kind of my gauge is, did I improve through the rotation? GSR, a general service rep, is a 2-year rotation. So whether, you know, if you're in your first year of a rotation, you have 5 to 6 business meetings or district committee meetings under your belt so far, depending on when yours lands in the month. So probably all of you have 5, some of you maybe have 6 so far that you've done. But the cool part is you have another year and a half. So you have 18 more opportunities to get it right. So there's that. So I want to throw out there that this is progress, not perfection. So please be kind to yourself. And, you know, please take what you hear today as, I like that, I want to use that, or that was neat information, but I'm going to pass on that one, or I don't know what the heck she's talking about, she's crazy, move on. You know, it doesn't matter. Use what works for you to be the better servant for your group. Okay. So GSR duties. Now, I'm sure many of you know these already, but it's connecting them all. That's the part that I struggled with, was connecting them all, is I'm linking my, as a general service rep, I'm linking my group to AA as a whole. I'm representing my group as the group's conscience at area meetings, whether those are quarterlies, assemblies, area committee meetings, depends on your area, which those are at. I'm reporting my group conscience to my district and to my delegate around items that I've been asked to report my group conscience. And I'm bringing area and district suggestions, as well as conference advisory actions, back to my group. So it's this flow of information from my group to my district, to the area, to through my delegate to the general service conference. And I'm bringing that information back from the conference through the delegate to the area, to my district, and to my group. So there's all these different, it's like this flow of information. And I know for me as a GSR, it was hard for me at times to see the connection. It was all just different pieces. I knew what all the pieces were, but I didn't quite see how they worked together at all times. But at least I understood the pieces and that they were important. And I just had to accept that I didn't need to understand the how but I did understand the why. So that was enough for me. So how do I do all these things? You know, of course, I get to just a quick question. How many of you, when you're at your district, your group business meeting, your group conscience meeting, are you as the GSR expected to chair your business meeting? Can you just raise your actually physical hand? How many of you are expected to chair your business meeting? Okay, we got one, two. Thanks, everybody. So about a third of you are. So thank you for that. I was fortunate or unfortunate. I did not, my group doesn't have the GSR chair the business meeting. But for those of you that do, the best piece of advice I have for you is set an agenda. Have an agenda, a written agenda beforehand, written down about what you're going to talk about in your home group business meeting. Depending on how structured or unstructured your group is, your group might already have a format that you just follow. Like I know in my home group, it's not our GSR that's following it, but we have a generally accepted format and flow of our business meeting. We have an opening. We have like reports from everybody from like our coffee maker through our treasurer and GSR. And then we have new business and old business. That's generally the flow. It might flow differently, but those are generally things as a group you will tend to talk about. So if you don't have an agenda or are looking for examples, I did provide Dee with some documentation that I used with my GSRs for GSR University. And in course 401, there's examples of what an agenda looks like. So if that would be helpful to you, please take a look at that. The next biggest piece of advice I have for you if you are chairing your home group business meeting is lead with confidence. And what I mean by that is, okay, I'll phrase it this way. So if I say I suggest you lead with confidence, or you should lead with confidence. Did you see how I phrase those two different things? One, I phrased as a statement. And one I phrased as a question. And if you give a bunch of people the opportunity to answer everything that you've asked as a question, it really undermines your ability to lead the room and keep and manage the room, basically. So, because as I'm sure you've noticed, at least half the room either doesn't have a clue or doesn't care what you're talking about. And so it's the half that does that you got to worry about. So if you open it up, I don't know, try it. I'm just saying leading with confidence, like making statements instead of questions, unless it's an actual question. But if you're like, I think, you know, I believe we're ready for a vote. Let's go ahead and take a vote. Or I believe we're ready for a vote. Okay, let's go ahead and vote. Or I believe we're ready for a vote, so let's go ahead and vote. Because if you're not, the group's going to let you know. But I promise, it sounds silly, but it really will help with you being able to manage the room. Or I should say, it really did help me with my ability to manage a room when I led with confidence, like I had half a clue of what I was doing. And the other, agenda, lead with confidence. And the third best advice I could have for you is ask for help. There is always going to be someone in your group that knows how to run a business meeting well. I bet when I said that, that person came right into your mind. So if you're still doing virtual business meetings, I hope that you get in touch with them ahead of time, have a conversation, go over your questions and your concerns and your things you're having anxiety about with leading your business meeting. Or if you already are in person, it wouldn't hurt to ask them to sit by you. I don't know. It was really helpful to me. I didn't realize that's what happened to me when I was a GSR. But when I was a GSR, I didn't ask people what happened was elder statesmen in my home group all of a sudden sat by me during business meetings. They were past GSRs and they just made a point to sit by the GSR. They didn't sit by me in the regular meeting, but they sat by me in the business meeting to make sure I was okay and felt supported. And if I had a question, they were right there next to me. I could quickly ask my question without the whole room seeing that I didn't know what the heck was going on. It was really nice of them to do that. I didn't realize until after I was GSR what they were doing. And that's when I was told, like, hey, you better start doing this for the GSRs. I was like, oh, that's what you guys were doing. I just thought you were being nice. It's like, no, that's what we do. We take care of our GSR. So there's that. And that's the really cool part about Alcoholics Anonymous that I really do believe sets us apart from other nonprofit or even, any other entity in my life. I've served in several capacities. My son is almost 17, so every activity he's done since he was like two, I've been on the board of whatever since. And I have never had so much support and the desire for people to see me succeed as I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that's a really cool part. And I wish I would have understood that earlier because I would have been asking for help a lot earlier than I did. And a lot of the stuff I'm saying right now, I learned after I was GSR because I just didn't hear it beforehand. So, and like some of the stuff I'm telling you comes directly from my most recent experience as area chairperson for Western Washington Area 72. And I say that because I made sure at every event that we had in person, I had our area secretary and our area alternate chair sitting on either side of me. And they both had very specific jobs that they were to do to help me manage the room. So, I really hope that you have some good people to kind of surround yourself with. Even if you're really great at running the room, maybe you are just amazing at running a business meeting. And I say bless you, because that certainly was not my experience. I learned along the way. So there's that. So, but again, if you're looking for some suggestions on how to run your home group business meeting in course 401, the documentation that Dee has shared with everybody, you'll get some examples. The next thing, so I hope that also reminds you that you get to attend your home group business meeting. If you're not already, you get to as GSR. It became very apparent that even though I was pretty good about attending my home group, I really needed to attend my home group. Like, no missing home group unless I really had to miss it. And for some of you, that's a no-brainer. But for when I was GSR for my home group, I had a 5-year-old. I had a lot of, it's different now that he's 17. Like I can leave him alone and it's okay. But it was a bit challenging. So sometimes it gave me an opportunity to learn how to manage my schedule better. That is something as GSR, I started to learn how to be more organized. I didn't come into the GSR role an incredibly organized person, but I left the GSR role a much more organized person. And I hope that's something that you find for yourself along the way. I strongly encourage you to, however you like to have your calendar, whether that's a calendar in your purse or your wallet, whether that's your phone, whether that's a calendar on the fridge, I don't care. But I promise you, if you don't already have a calendar, you're going to want one because there's stuff that you get to be at as a GSR in addition to your home group business meeting. I'm sure you've already figured out you have a monthly district meeting that you get to go to. And then, depending on what is going on in your area, it usually boils down to about one weekend a month that you're probably doing something as the general service rep. Whether that's an area committee meeting or a quarterly or an assembly, whatever your area calls it, it might be a delegates post-conference report, it might be a delegates pre-conference, you might have, and then there's district-specific things like districts always are having picnics or potlucks or gratitude banquets, or I don't know, we're always finding some reason to get together and eat. We do that a lot in AA. There's usually two or three of those events a year that you get to attend, or at least encourage people from your group to attend. So there's a lot of things that we get to go to as GSR. And how great is that? How great is it that our world gets bigger? Because that's one of the best gifts that I found in general service. Is when I first got sober, it was my sponsor. She was my world. Okay. And then it was my first home group. So then it was my sponsor and my home group. They were my world. And then I became this GSR and I started going to the district meeting. So then it was the other GSRs from my district meeting and my home group and my sponsor. And then I went to my first area assembly, my voting assembly, and I got to sit at a table next to GSRs from a totally different part of Western Washington. And we got to be friendly and we had lunch together and I met different people. And then, you know, and then my world got even bigger. And then it's continued that way. And then now with Zoom, it's like my world's even bigger. I'm in a meeting with people from Florida and Ohio. And last week there was someone from Australia here. I mean, how cool is that? Like our world gets bigger. What a gift. What a really great gift. So let me make sure I'm not forgetting anything in my excitement about world getting bigger. So you've got your home group business meeting. So either you're chairing it and you're running the business meeting, or you're asked as GSR to provide a report. And I often get questions from GSRs of like, what do I report? Like, or how long? Sorry, it's bubble tea. I got a bubble. I forgot it was bubble tea. Excuse me. So you're giving your GSR report. Okay. So, and I mentioned this, but it was more in the question and answer. And I think it might've even been after a lot of people had left, someone had asked this question, which was, like, how long is your report supposed to be? And the best advice I can give you is ask your group. Ask your group how much information they want. How long do you want my report to be? And how would you like to receive this report? Because what I did and what worked for me might not work for you. But what I did was my home group has an email list. And so I would take the district minutes and I would basically summarize those. And I would compare that to the notes I had from the district meeting. And I would take the minutes and I would kind of summarize them. And I would send those, I would email those out to the whole home group. And then I would pull out what I felt was the things that my group wanted to hear the most about or were really relevant or important. Like basically, if I was asked to provide feedback for my group, those things would for sure be brought back. And then other things that I thought they might find interesting. Some of you have those groups where they want to know about every single picnic and potluck and banquet and gratitude, whatever, and speaker. That's what they want to know about. So I'd, you know, include that. Some of your groups really want to know about the conference items. And so of course you should include that, but sometimes, you know, they want a little more. So do you have 2 minutes? Do you have 5 minutes? Do you have carte blanche? Like, what do they want to hear? And so the best way to find that out is to ask them how much. And then what I did is I also made myself available to home group members saying, okay, this was my report. Here are the summary. If someone would like to see the full minutes of the district meeting, or someone wants the full financial reports or whatever the reports are, let me know. I gladly provide them to you. You know, it's all available, whatever you want. I will give you the information. But the reality is like, there was one person in my home group that wanted everything. So it's like trying to figure out that magic spot of like, where can I get the most amount of people to pay attention? Like, what does that look like? And for me, it was, I had no more than 5 minutes. If I could do it in 5 minutes, I could keep people's attention and I got the big stuff out there. And so that was where I strived towards. But, you know, I tried different things the first few months until I figured out I probably should just ask them what they wanted. And then they told me and I moved on from there and it worked really well. So I suggest that you do that. Something as well as I didn't quite realize when I was GSR is I am responsible for reporting the financial the financial health and status of the entities that serve us. So who does your group contribute to? They're, depending on where you live, they're probably contributing to an intergroup or a central service office. Maybe, maybe not. Some, not everybody has those in their area, in their, where they're living. They're probably contributing to a district, their district, their area, and the general service office. So you're probably contributing to three or four entities, maybe more. It depends. You know, my group contributes to five. Actually, we contribute to Greater Seattle Intergroup, Greater Seattle Intergroup ASL Fund, District 31, Area 72 in the General Service Office. So we contribute to five, but whatever your group is contributing to, you need to be able to report back how those entities are doing financially. You might be asking yourself, well, how the heck do I know how they're doing financially? Where does that information magically come from? Well, a lot of that information you'll find out at your district meeting. At your district meeting, you should be getting regular financial reports from your district treasurer. At your district meeting, most likely you are getting quarterly financial reports about how your area is doing. And through our delegate reports at quarterly usually to the body, how the General Service Office is doing. Most of that information is provided to you at your district meeting. Most of the time it is. If you're not getting that information at your district meeting, I suggest you ask your DCM where to find that information or when and where is that information reported? Because again, every area and district is different. And I know how it's done in my area, but I'm not quite sure how it's done in yours. Now, when it comes to central service offices or intergroup offices, if you're being served by those, that information is oftentimes provided by a liaison from the central service office to your district, or your group might have a rep that goes to that entity on a regular basis and is already reporting that back. So then you don't even have to worry about reporting it because someone else is doing it for you. One less thing to worry about. But again, it's one of those things where I didn't report monthly how these entities were doing to my group, but I did try to report quarterly because that's often when I'd have information on all the different entities. And so instead of, you know, like districts, I always knew how we're doing. So we, you know, gosh darn it, they were being responsible to those they served and providing us, you know, monthly financial reports. But I would at least report that quarterly because my group could tolerate it quarterly. That was my group. Some groups want to hear it more, but we definitely, we get to educate our group on the seventh tradition as GSRs. This was something I completely and utterly could have done a lot better as GSR. Didn't quite realize that was my responsibility. I'm sure I was told, but it just went right over my head. So there's that. Let's see. Getting to know our home group. Some of you have been elected GSR and you've been a part of your home group for a long time and you know everybody really well. Some of you have been a part of your home group for a couple months and for some reason you found yourself elected as GSR and you still don't know everybody in your home group's name. Some of you I know who are sitting in here have never met your home group members personally because you've been a part of that group only virtually. So The key is you really need to get to know your home group. And then I say that because as a GSR, I had the opportunity to be the voice of my group at the district, at the area with our delegate. And to be that voice, I had to know my home group. I can't be a voice of someone I don't know. And so it was, oh gosh, darn it. I had to make friends. And even if I didn't make friends with everybody, at least I got to know their names. I tried to have conversations with them. I would try to encourage them in the business meeting to speak up, especially those people, because you know in your home group, yeah, people like me who never shut up. Okay, I'm that person in your home group. But yeah, and Biddy, she's raising her hand. Like, you know, a lot of us in general service, like, don't ever shut up. That's probably why we got elected. But then there's those people, they talk about it in the 12 and 12 about like the elder statesmen and the quiet strength of the home group. And those are the people that I tried to incorporate into when we'd have discussions about things, you know, see what the people who weren't saying things, but were showing up to everything, just even ask them like, Hey Dave, I noticed you've been here for the whole business meeting. Did you have anything you wanted to add about this topic? And like, even if people didn't raise their hand, encouraging them to participate in the discussion, because we want the discussion of the whole group. We want informed group conscience, not an informed Heather conscience. And so it's like the more voices, the better, you know, to like get that conscience. It's a really beautiful thing, because, I would love to be a fly in the wall when you do that. And that elder statesman that maybe doesn't talk very much says something and the whole room's like, mic drop, like, what just happened? That was like the perfect thing. Thank you so much. You know, it's really cool when we can involve as many voices as possible. What else? Let's see. Now I don't know how things run in your area, but in my area, it is common tradition with a little T to do group inventories on a,
I'm going to ask you to explain tradition with a little T, because some people might be totally brand
new. Okay. Thank you, Dee. Okay. Tradition with a little T is, things that we traditionally do, but are not actually part of our 12 traditions. Like, there's nothing in our literature that says we have to do this or we should do this or anything. Like, for example, tradition with a little T is saying, hi, my name is Heather and I'm an alcoholic. There's nothing that says I have to identify as an alcoholic in a meeting, but we do. Coins are traditions with a little T. Other things that we do in our area are traditions with a little T. Every area's got their little traditions with a little T. So group inventories, I don't think it's an Area 72 specific tradition with a little T, but I think how we go about it is a tradition with a little T. In my area, traditionally, it's encouraged that groups do a group inventory every 2 years. It's like a little house cleaning. And I know most groups in our area task their GSR with setting up group inventories. And if you're wondering what a group inventory is, I strongly encourage you to check out the AA group pamphlet. In that pamphlet, there's 13 questions in there that is just question. It's just like our personal inventory. It's basically checking the overall health of your group. Like, are we welcoming to newcomers? What more could we be doing? Are we giving everybody an opportunity to share? Are we, do we encourage sponsorship? Is this a safe and inviting meeting space? It's really neat, and generally have it outside of a regular business meeting, and you gather the group members together and you bring in an outside facilitator. So someone not part of your home group to facilitate the discussion. And then basically for the next several months, you might go over those different action items that came up and talk about them in your business meeting. I can tell you from my own experience in my home group, we talk every 2 years. I've been a part of this home group for 16 years now. And for 10 years during our group inventory, so 5 inventories, it was brought up, I think we should move. Our meeting space is too small. You know, it's cramped. It's not really welcoming. It gets really hot in the summers. It's really cold in the winters. You know, all this stuff, like, basically our meeting space, we'd outgrown our meeting space is what had happened, but it was a minority opinion. You know, basically change is bad. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, we're fine. You know, 40 out of the 52 weeks of the year, who really cares? You know, it's fine, you know? And then, what happened was we were losing our meeting space after, you know, anyways. And so it was this whole thing. It came up, and then basically our higher power did for us what we couldn't do, but we knew historically from the group inventories that this was a thing. And anyways, it's just pretty neat. Also, like, that was kind of a big thing, but a lot of times what I see in group inventories is tweaking little things like, our group, maybe we should encourage sponsorship a little more, or we're not really doing any outside service activities, but I hear at the district, the treatment chair was saying that there's an opportunity to take a panel into the treatment center every month. And then that group decides because of the inventory that they're going to take on that service commitment and provide volunteers to go into that treatment center monthly. Or I hear little stuff like, hey, we've noticed that like this, when we're like, I live near like Seattle. So it's a big city. And like some of these where I was like, dude, like I had to walk down a dark alley to get here. They didn't realize that they had let all the lights like go out. And so they worked with the church to like get lights fixed, so like people didn't feel like they're going to get murdered going down this alleyway into this basement meeting of a church, you know, things like that, where it's like, it can be really little stuff. It can be like really big stuff. Like, oh, we need light bulbs, or like, oh, we need to move, or, oh, we should talk about sponsorship more, or like, hey, we're being really clicky. Like, what do we need to do about that to be more inclusive? Or I was part of a group inventory where they were having a problem with predatory behavior. And so as a group, they were able to have a safe and lengthy and uncomfortable discussion about predatory behavior and like, how as a group should we move forward with this? And so anyways, just, you know, but I hope what you're hearing here is, wow, that sounds a lot like my personal inventory. Some was like big overhaul stuff, and some were like, ooh, just like little tweaks, and some were like, ooh, this is really uncomfortable. But as a group, we get to talk about it and get healthy. So group inventories, I'm a huge fan of. I facilitate a gazillion of them, because once you get into area service, you get asked to do a lot of them. It's fun. I joke. I love discussing inventories that aren't my own. So inventories are fun. So if you have more questions about that, seriously, you can reach out to me anytime. Group inventories are amazing and super healthy to the overall health and maintenance and wellness of a group. Also, I want to, as a GSR, you are going to be getting lots of information. Now I don't know when, we talked about last week, but getting in touch your group. Okay. As a GSR, you're going to your district. Within your district might have a district registrar, or, it might be the alt district committee member's role to do this, but where you give them your contact information, your full name, your address, and your phone number, your email address. And then, so I would definitely, and you know that you've done this or it's been taken care of for you, if you received your GSR kit, and how many of you received your GSR kit? You want to just raise your real hand? Okay. Now, okay, cool. So about a third of you have. So just so you know, this is the one time where alternates don't get the same as GSRs. Only GSRs get GSR kits. Alt GSRs do not. They don't get sent. They're sent by GSO. I can tell you, if you've already turned that information in, that just because we've been having an issue in our area, a lot of GSRs have not gotten their kits. It's because there's a backlog at GSO right now, the General Service Office, and that backlog was just discovered. And so they're working through that backlog. So hopefully in the next month, if you are a GSR and have submitted your information and have not received your GSR kit, you should be getting that in the next month, now that they've figured out the problem and they're working to rectify that. But last week I showed you where all that information is on AA.org. So hopefully in the meantime, until you get your actual kit, it will be an adequate substitute. But something that also comes is, once the General Service Office has your contact information, you'll start quarterly what's called Box 459, which is the General Service Office quarterly newsletter. It's a really cool newsletter, and that it's your responsibility to share that with your group. So that's really when you get stuff from GSO, that the general service office, what that is consider that, like, even though it comes with your name on it, consider that like your group copy. So you definitely want to be taking that to your meeting, or if you're meeting virtually, if you can get that scanned or pictures of it and uploaded, but share that with your group, because that information is really meant for us as GSRs to share with our group, because it's really cool stuff. And then depending on how your area is set up, that also will mean that you might be getting newsletters from your area or from your district. And again, that information is meant to be shared with your group. So again, it's a lot of sharing information, and the key is figuring out how your group wants to receive that information and getting it to them in a way that they would like to see it. And every group is different. Also something like I get asked about, like, oh, what am I supposed to do at my district meeting? Are you wondering what you're supposed to do at your district meeting? Well, I strongly encourage, if you're virtual, the resting Zoom face. You know, it's got a smile. It's pleasant. No, just kidding. You don't have to, but try to be attentive. That's the key, is actively listening. Which I found very hard. I still find very challenging, but it was incredibly challenging until I've had lots of practice in general. I've been doing general service for over a decade now. So I'm used to sitting and listening to people talk about this kind of stuff. When I was GSR, it was my first foray into this. You know, I had never done anything outside of a home group business meeting. Those last 15, 20 minutes. So like to be asked to sit for an hour and a half or 2 hours, I was like, what? This is forever. And so actively listening, taking notes. Now I know some people that is a hardship or a downright impossible. And that's okay. Cause there's a few things. One, with us being on Zoom today, a lot of us still, a lot of times our districts are actually recording the district meetings. So that's pretty neat. So you can maybe get access to that. If as a GSR, you really struggle with note-taking, I hope that you have a really good district secretary who can get the minutes out quickly and accurately, or ask your alternate GSR, like, hey, this is something you can really help me out with. If you're lucky enough to have an alternate GSR. But yeah, so taking notes, what do you take notes on? Well, what did your group tell you they wanted to hear about? What are they interested in? What's important? So at first I took notes on everything. I basically wrote down everything. My hand hurt. And then I typed all this stuff up. And then I realized my group didn't care. They did not care about the whole hour and a half district meeting. They cared about what open positions, what open service positions, the financial reports, and anything that feedback was required. That was what they cared about. So I stopped taking such detailed notes on the things that they didn't find as important. But again, it was a learning process. I encourage you to get to know the committee members, get to know your fellow GSRs. This is your new family. This is like your service home group. Okay. Like if you had a home group for service, that's your district meeting. So try to get to know these people, because you can learn so much from different GSRs about what they're doing. I learned how to become a better GSR by talking to the GSRs in my district and finding out what they were doing, because we all do stuff different. And I got some really good ideas. I also hope that if you don't do it in the next month, you at least do it by the end of the rotation. I hope that you take the opportunity to thank your DCM, your district committee member, for all the hard work that they do for you. Their job is to take care of you guys and to put on these district meetings. And it's a tough job. There's a lot of deliverables. It's a wonderful job. I loved it. DCM was one of my favorite and hardest service positions I ever did. But getting a thank you from a GSR, it really, it means a lot. It means a lot more than you'll ever know. So I hope that you will, in a genuine way, you know, thank them for what they do for you, because they put in a lot of work. So there's that. I do want to, before I stop yammering, I've been talking a long time, is I want to just briefly talk about rotation. Now, of course, you may or may not know this. I hope you do by now, but you might not have known this when you were elected, that GSR is a two-year position, that alternate GSR is a two-year position. So in theory, if you've been elected as alternate GSR, in theory, you will be serving for 4 years. In theory, you still have to be elected as GSR, but the hope is that the alternate learns enough and can rotate into the GSR position. So there is that. So rotation set also means the commitment. So is really understanding that the commitment that you're being asked, like it's 2 years, it's not a replacement for recovery work. So we still got to be hitting our regular, you know, AA meetings, in addition to these additional service activities. Am I willing to give up basically a weekend a month to, or not give up, to offer up a weekend of my time to do this kind of work? And, you know, am I going to be organized enough so that, okay, I need to schedule childcare, or I need to rearrange some things in my schedule so I can be at these things? Like there's this, I hate to use the word balance because balance implies perfection and I'm a perfectionist. So I try not to use the word balance, but like, am I able to do these commitments to the best of my ability and be happy where my feet are? And I'm happy where my feet are if I'm getting enough sleep, if I'm going to enough meetings, if I'm taking care of myself physically, mentally, and spiritually. And what does that look like? And it looks like it's different for all of us, but it's just there's a commitment involved. And I know I didn't quite know what I was getting into, and that's okay. It worked out just fine. But, you know, it's just, I hope that, because don't forget, this is a 2-year rotation. So I hope you're looking for your replacement. So promoting the attractiveness of service to those in your group is a big deal, because you don't have to get everybody in your home group to want to be the next GSR. You just need to find one person. You need to find one person. So, or maybe two, if there can be an actual election, that would be super cool. Like people vying for the position. Like I would love that. I would cry if that happened in my home group, but it has yet to be like a real election. But, you know, I'm always looking for my replacement. I'm already looking for my replacement as alternate delegate. Like I know that like, I don't have a say in who the body elects, but I'm constantly talking to various people that are doing general service to say, hey, I hope you're looking into standing for this. Do you have any questions? How can I help you? You know, all those things. So I hope that you're looking for your replacement now, because before you know it, for some of you in 6 months, you will be rotating out. That will be gone in a blink of an eye. So if you haven't found your replacement, I really hope that you are putting that in, you know, high drive right now. For those of you who think, oh, I got a year and a half, it's fine. Oh, it's so not. Start now. Plant the seed now, because that seed needs to grow and be watered, because time flies. So there's that. And last thing I want to talk about before I open up for questions is just, we've touched on it, but is service sponsorship. And that's, you know, someone that's grounded in the concepts and traditions, who's active in general service, whether it means that they've done a lot of positions in the past and say now they're a past delegate or a past trusted servant, or if they're actively doing service right now, but just people who are familiar with it. And of course, I hope they have a solid recovery base as well. But for me, it's a past delegate in my area, I had asked. But for some people, I know that their regular 12-step, their regular AA recovery sponsor is their service sponsor, because they do a lot of general service. And so they're able to help. But once I became a GSR and then a DCM and stuff, the questions I was asking my service sponsor, she couldn't help me. She had no idea what I was talking about. Like she knew less than I did. And I needed someone to kind of help me navigate this new arena I had entered into, and just understanding the language and the players and what my responsibilities are and all those things. And that's where a service sponsor came in really handy. Now, some of you might be thinking like, oh, I don't, do I really need a service sponsor? Well, that's for you to decide. But I didn't get a service sponsor until I was in the second year of my rotation as DCM. It's just more like, I don't remember hearing people talk about it, or I probably would have done it. I mean, I was the person who got a sponsor in treatment because I was told I should. So I'm pretty sure if I'd heard that I was supposed to get one as GSR, I probably would have gotten one. But what I did have was I had people in my home group that I was going to that I basically treated like I do my service sponsor now. So asking for help. But again, someone asked me, does your service sponsor need to be someone in your area or someone even in your home group or like in your district? And the answer is no. I service sponsor people that I have never met in person. I service sponsor men. I service sponsor women. People are like, how can you do that? And I was like, well, I'm not hearing sex inventory stuff. We're talking service stuff. Like, it's not like, there's not that. It's not that kind of thing. It's more of like a mentor mentee relationship than anything. So it's pretty neat stuff, but it's really, really, really helpful. So I think that is the gist of what I wanted to go over today. I hope that you are sending your questions to Dee. Cause that's my favorite part of this hour and a half chat is, when you guys ask questions, because I really want you to get what you need out of this to be the best general service representative you can be. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heather. I really, really love everything that I heard. So listen, you guys, I know some of you have sent questions. Don't leave. Ask your questions. They will be anonymous. I will not call you out. So I'll be asking them to Heather. So it doesn't matter if you're introverted and not as chatty as Heather and I. It's all good. So, and Biddy, raise your hand so I can pick on her too. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start with the questions. Oh, let me also reference that in the chat, you guys, for those of you, I understand we're all here at different facets of our sobriety and also of our technical abilities as well, right? So if you cannot get out of the chat what you need, please email me at d@thethreeleggroup.com and I will be with your request of what it is you need and you're looking for, and I'll be happy to help as far as any of the literature stuff. There is examples of group inventory, as she was talking about it, that I put in there. There are different types of levels of group inventory using concepts, traditions, or both, or, you know, there's, I think, 3 or 4 different ones. Also the same with some other information that you were talking about. I have a whole file that's of our recordings and also of the information you supplied me with that you were referencing. So for those of you that are asking, it's a lot to go over, but it's there in the chat. And if you need anything more, oh, also the group pamphlet, page 28 and 29. I put 28 because in there is the description of the group conscience. And it's always interesting when people read that, when they actually really see what the definition of the group conscience is. It's not been my experience at most groups. There's been the apathetic clock watcher telling you, let's go, so. But anyway, let's get started on our questions. So moving right along, we have a couple people had to leave. They wish they could have stayed, but they had responsibilities to their districts. But that's wonderful. That's what we do. So they said, thank you. I presented to my group an idea to do some local PI work in our small town. Examples, share our 3 meetings and times with our churches, library, gas station, bulletin board, doctor offices, et cetera. Majority voted that's district work and not group level. Where can I turn to in literature with info to back our group, can do it? Was going to invite our district PI person to our business meeting. That okay to do, of course, right? I mean, I'm sorry, I thought they were talking about here. Let me stop, let me not answer that. Okay, go ahead, Heather.
Oh, I totally think my first advice was gonna be is invite your district PI chair, your public information chair, to your home group business meeting. Before inviting them though, I would, depending on how your group is set up, you might need to ask permission. Like, hey, I would really like to bring our district PI chair, different district public information chair, to give a presentation on things that we can do to help the PI committee or we as a group can do or things like that. But I would definitely ask permission first. Unless you're the one setting the agenda, then go ahead and do whatever you want. But you definitely want to ask. And then, yeah, bring them because, I mean, the coordination of this work is probably can be done at the district level, but the boots on the ground is probably the group level. It's group members. Like, I think people, a lot of times groups forget, like, yes, it's quote unquote district work, but hello, we are part of the district. We are the people in the district doing the work. Like, we, there is no us and them. We are the group. We are the district. We are the area. We are the conference. There is no one else doing the work but us. We are the people doing the work. And that's oftentimes the disconnect that seems to happen, is there is no someone else to do it. We get to do it.
I love that. And also, I was going to type in there, but I can't multitask fast enough. But page 18 and 19 of the group pamphlet, in regards to the literature where you could find that information, the person that was asking, it says, what do AA group members do? And then it talks about what trusted servants, officers do we need? And it gives you a service structure inside the AA group. So it shows that that model mirrors, I guess, if you will, right, with district. So anyways, that's there in the, you can show them and let them read it and look at it themselves, actually, maybe help them participate in the meeting. So with that group pamphlet that Heather referred to, that was put in the chat. So you guys can access it there or get one from your local central officer in a group as well, depending on how your area is opened up. So how often should my group have a business meeting, and what's the difference between a business meeting and a steering committee meeting?
Oy, okay. Well, tradition with a little T is monthly. Is generally, I'd say groups that have business meetings, I'd say more than 90% of them have them monthly. The others I've seen are maybe some have it quarterly. I've heard of some just having it before like the conference in New York and before the like voting assemblies that your area might have, they'll have it then. Or I've heard of groups doing it only as needed, which I don't quite understand, but that works for them. But generally I'd say it's monthly. And how that differs from a steering committee depends on, I'm not sure if I'm talking about the same thing as you, but a lot of times big groups, like large groups, like groups that have several hundred members or several meetings, will have a steering committee that helps guide the overarching conscience or duties of either the several meetings or such a large group. They steer it, they provide guidance and direction. And those I've seen meet anywhere from monthly to quarterly. It just depends on what the conscience is around that. So again, it's a whole lot of every group is autonomous. And so it's when it comes to business meetings or group conscience meetings, it's how many do you need to feel like everybody is heard, that the group is functioning and healthy, and that information is dispersed in a understandable and concise and timely manner. And I think that's why most groups do it monthly, is because some stuff can't wait 3 months to be talked about. You know, so yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Heather. This one here gets me a little emotional. Let's see. What do you say to people who say service in AA is going to a meeting? I'm sorry, forgive me for the person that, if this doesn't come out, because I know sometimes when we type the words, they change it on us, but resend it to me and make sure I understand I'm conveying it to Heather the right way. So it says, what do you say to people who say service in AA is going to a meeting and sharing, and that's good enough? When districts and areas talk about service in quotations, it sounds really different. So, yeah, I think the legacy of service actually comes to mind. Would you not say that, Heather, on the first,
Yeah.
I think you know where they're going, yeah.
Yeah, and Bill says it really well about, basically, when the three legacies of service were, you know, basically when Bill and Bob stepped away because Bob was dying and the conference was set up, like, why do we need a conference? And it was set up. And because basically it was Bill and Bob who made all the decisions. And then it was Bill and Bob and a few, you know, close, some trust, like a board. And then it was like, it was basically like the duty was given to the groups to do this. And like, we all became responsible for the health and welfare and future of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is our responsibility as members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's not just to stay sober. It's so that Alcoholics Anonymous is here for the still suffering alcoholic inside and outside of these rooms. And so, yes, going to meetings and carrying the message is service, but it is not enough for me. I would like to do service in additional ways. There are additional ways to do service. And what you see at the district and the area level is, oh, thank you for posting that, Dee. Yeah, read that. Read that. It sounds a lot better than what I said. It's Bill's words. Bill's words are always better when you just read Bill verbatim than when you try to do it from memory.
Right. But, and it's kind of hard to just put that, because then it makes it sound like what those people are saying is, like you said, that's not enough for me. That's our 12-step work. But then if you look further on in the leadership, ever a vital role, right? What is that? S53. I'll try to post that in there too. I was trying to help be your secretary.
Thank you so much. This is so wonderful. But it's what area and district and is doing is help. The work that we do helps make 12-step work possible. And I think one of the great examples that we just saw was the PI question that came first, because the group's like, well, that is district work, because it really does need to be coordinated at the district, because there's more churches than the few churches your group is involved with. There's more doctors than the few doctors that you members from your group go to. There's more, you know, within your district, how many doctors are there? How many libraries are there? How many churches are there? How many, you know, fill in the blanks there are. There's too many for one group to get the AA message to. So that's why there's a district, and we have our district treatment chair and corrections chair and public information and cooperation with the professional community and accessibility. You have all these chairs coordinating the efforts, networking with the groups so that they can coordinate, be like, okay, let's say we're going to do a church project where we're getting out the information of where all the meetings are within our district to the churches. We're doing a clergy thing. So they coordinate. Yeah, the group members are doing the work, but all that coordination is happening at the district level. And that's too much for any one group to do. Like, I can't imagine telling my home group, oh, by the way, now we get to do all the outreach locally, and we need to answer phones when someone calls looking for a drunk, sober alcoholic to talk to. How does all that work happen? Well, that happens. That's not happening in my home group. My job in my home group is to be there for the still suffering alcoholic. My job as an area or a district trusted servant is to help make 12-step work possible. So.
Beautiful.
So, but I do also have to say for those of you who are instant gratification junkies, that's not going to happen in general service. What we do in general service, we often don't get to see the results. And if we do, it's like 6 months, a year down the road. And it's like, oh, that was really cool. I was part of that. And then, you know, but like where I can go to my home group, I can go to our treatment center commitment. I can grab a, you know, a wet one, and, you know, I get that instant gratification because I get to sit with them across the table and have that talk and see their eyes come wide open. That's not what's happening in general service. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of high. It's great, but it's different.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that once you go through the traditions and you have that second spiritual experience and understand what you just said, how Bob and Bill have left our inheritance, right, to the groups, right, not to the members, but we understand the importance of conveying that information and protecting it. And it's absolutely beautiful. So that we'll be here for the next, the child yet not born that we talk about in the conference, why we need a conference. So I put that stuff in there for you guys, because that's also good stuff as far as having tools to arm yourself with. Because some of your questions are about that. Like, what do you say to other members or even in my home group when, oh, that service work is not for me, or that's AA politics, or, you know, take a look at the conference and why we need a conference. Take a look at the leadership, ever a vital role, all those pieces that you'll find in the service manual to help you answer that question in the literature. So I'm going to ask you some more questions here. Let's see. There is one of them came to the other device. Let's take a look. Maybe not. Let me see. Maybe it was here. Okay. Yeah, number one. 1 month I gave the same report twice, thinking that I would catch some people that missed my report. That was nifty. I felt it was important because we were going to get a group conscience about an upcoming event. Is it okay to report something at every meeting? And then the second part of it is, let me just see if this goes together. Is the group meeting the part of the meeting that happens after the preamble and readings where the secretary calls for reports? Is that the business meeting you're talking about, or is it a separate meeting altogether?
Ooh. Mm. Okay, so repeating stuff. Yes, repeating is wonderful. Yes. You know, there's some stuff that you will talk about over several business meetings because it often, you know, takes time. A group conscience often takes more than 20 minutes to be formed. And so sometimes it needs to be discussed over several business meetings. And for the second part of the question, like in your regular meeting, when there's like the preamble and then like the announcements and stuff, a lot of groups will give an opportunity for the GSR to give like a brief announcement of happenings or things going on. And that's an excellent opportunity to give little sound bites, get little bits of information out there. But no, when I say a business meeting, or it's also called a group conscience meeting, it's a separate meeting that usually, when it happens, it usually happens either before or after the regular AA meeting once a month. It's usually like the last, like for my home group, it's the last Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. and our meeting starts at 7. So we go from 6 to 6:45 is when we will have our business meeting. We discuss group things. So there's anything from like what's going on with our coffee maker to this is the rent we've paid to our church liaison maybe is giving some information about what's going on with the church we meet at. And then there's the general service or the GSR's report about what's happening at the district. And then maybe as a group, we're talking about like giving money to the Berean Little Assembly or reimbursing for coins or, oh, who knows? We've talked about getting cushions for chairs because our chairs are uncomfortable. I mean, we find all sorts of really interesting ways to fill up that 45 minutes every month.
Wonderful. Thank you, my dear. Let's see. Okay, you saw that one already. Okay, just started our group inventory using the 13 questions. My report is last on agenda and usually only have 3 to 5 minutes. That sounds about average, right? Mm-hmm. At least for us. I see no way of discussing more than one question per month while doing the financial reports, or is there? Maybe another separate GSR report meeting on another week other than our regular business meeting night?
Well, I want to separate the group inventory questions from the report, because I look at those as two separate, though they go hand in hand, but they're two different things. I guess with group inventories, most of the time a group inventory will happen, at least in my area, on a separate day, like separate from the business meeting. And it's just like what we do in my home group is we get together like on a Saturday. Our meeting meets on Tuesdays, but we'll get together on a Saturday, have like a brunch. So basically we eat, and then we have someone come in and facilitate a discussion. It usually takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 2-3 hours, depending on what's going on and how many people show up. And you talk, and you go through the 13 questions. And then we don't make any changes to our group then. That's not the purpose of the actual inventory. It's to take stock and trade. And we have someone take notes, and then we go through all the notes, and maybe there's 5 or 6 action items that as a group, we want to discuss a future business meeting. So then we'll take those, say, 6 action items, and we will bring them up at business meetings for as long as we need to until we go through all of them. And those would come up at first in new business and then in old business until we've gone through all of them. That's how my home group does it. Now, I can tell you that it usually between everything that as a group we need to discuss in our business meetings, it takes us about a year to get through all the action items. So my suggestion is when you have your action items, the first thing you do as a group in your business meeting is prioritize those six action items. Which ones do we want? Which ones do we want to handle first? Like, which do we need to handle now, later, when we get to it, kind of stuff? Because some things are really important, and some things it's like, okay, like that can wait. Like, that's not imperative. And so I always joke with folks when I'm helping facilitate the inventory, if you are able to have gone through all your action items of your last inventory before you have your next inventory, you have succeeded. And it's joking, but I mean, in all seriousness, when you think of all the things as a group that you need to talk about, at least two business meetings, usually a year, are filled with elections. Most groups have elections every 6 months. Okay. So that's two business meetings, your extra time shot. Then you have a business meeting, at least one business meeting that you're talking about conference topics for your delegate. You have another business meeting, you're probably talking about the post-conference report. You have another business meeting or two where you're talking about area of things that you're going to be voting on at the area assembly. So right there, you have used up five or six business meetings where your extra time to talk about other business is really gobbled up. So really, you probably only have six or seven home group business meetings a year where you are going to have the time to even have a robust discussion about this stuff. So it is going to take time. So there is that. But also the 3 to 5 minutes to give your GSR report, that's pretty standard. It's pretty standard, but separate from inventory. That's just your GSR report.
And I want to share on this one, when I get ready to ask you this question, because they're asking, what are the six warranties? I want to say two things before I forget, because I started to forget. I know. So I'm giving you time to go grab what you need or do whatever you want to do. So with that said, we do have a recording. Billy did do the 12 concepts along with giving extra time on concept 12 with one through warranty through three and then four through six. So I have that recording. Again, if you're interested, seek me out to get that information. That's number one. Number two, we also, it's kind of interesting that somebody should mention, and I posted that about the bill, the legacy of service, because I do have a file also for the original service manual, the original legacy of service, that if you want to access and see that, as well as our, it's in our current service manual study. That was our homework for our Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern service manual study, was to read the legacy of service. And it is beautiful. And it is all in Bill's words from Bill. So if you're interested in that recording and in, you know, participating in that, please, you know, take advantage of this stuff. This is so beautiful. I did not have this to my advantage when I was a GSR before this pandemic. I don't know about you, Heather, but we didn't have choices like this. And it's just amazing. So go ahead, Heather, answer that question. What are the six warranties? Why I spelled?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, I didn't go to my first concept study till I was elected area treasurer. So I had been serving for already 6 years before I really dove into the concepts. So for those of you GSRs that are in the concepts, I am super jealous of you because the concepts are cool and they're meaty. And I love a challenge. And so it satisfies a lot of things for me. And they're also like really practical and they make sense. Like how it's just really cool. It's just like when you start to notice like traditions being used, it's like, oh, that's so cool. And then when I see concepts like happening, I'm like, oh, that's even cooler. But a warranty, first of all, they're listed out in concept 12 in the service manual. And so a warranty is a statement of truth to be true, but it's not a guarantee or a law. So just so you know, that's what a warranty is. And let me just say, I'm going to read verbatim, but warranties of Article 12 are a series of solemn undertakings which guarantee that the conference itself will conform to the AA's 12 traditions, that the conference can never become the seat of great wealth or government, that its fiscal policy shall ever be prudent, that it will never create any absolute authority, that the principle of substantial unanimity will be observed, and that it will never take any punitive action, that it never will incite public controversy, that it can serve AA only, and that it shall always remain democratic in spirit. These warranties indicate the qualities of prudence and spirituality which our General Service Conference should always possess, bearing any unforeseen defects. These are the permanent bonds that hold the conference fast to the movement it serves. Ooh, that's some meaty stuff. I think we should have a meeting just on that outside. Yep. I mean, it's meaty. That's why we study the concepts together. It's some meaty stuff. So the warranties are cool, but they're in concept 12. Go to a service manual study.
Yeah, I love that answer, Heather. You can defer it.
But, I defer to the Billy's concept study tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's in the chat.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Yeah, it's in there. Absolutely. Yeah, so, and again, sure. we had a reading on it, and that's why you can't explain it in 5 minutes before we close. We actually took 2 weeks on breaking down and breaking up concept 12 with those warranties. So we'll be doing it again for those of you interested, and you'll find it also in your service manual. And there's some good stuff in there. There really is. Mm-hmm. I was one of the geeks sitting there at the area assembly wanting to know what they were. But more importantly, I found out I really needed to have an understanding in the traditions before I could really even begin. I thought it was because I was a DSR, I was like, concepts. And then I really didn't have a clue about the tradition. Let me make sure we have.
Before traditions too, I hope that every GSR has a grounding in the steps.
Oh, God, like, please. Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Well, it's something that is often overlooked because groups will often, out of necessity or apathy or just, it'll be good. Like, I get the whole give them a service physician because it'll help them stay sober. Like, I get that. Like, that works for coffee maker, for greeter.
Right. Amen.
But like GSR is a responsibility. And that's why in the service manual, it is suggested that the GSR has 2 years sober, that they have worked the steps, because you being grounded in recovery, or me being grounded in recovery, me having a good foundation in recovery, me having some time so my life isn't a total S show when I'm actually GSR, gives me the opportunity to not only stay sober, but stay sober and be a good GSR. So it's more important that you stay sober, because as long as you stay sober, you can continue to serve. So there is that. So please, I hope that you have a good grounding in step work. And then as you're a GSR, you get a really good grounding in traditions and start to get exposure to concepts. And then as you continue on, you know, that foundation, just like, okay, we've got our foundation of the steps. Now we built the second floor. We got the traditions. Now we're building the third floor. We got the concepts. But it's this whole build upon thing. And until like you get that good grounding, it's basically you're building on sand.
Yeah. And as I think often referred to by Billy, if you haven't had a spiritual, well, I heard this the other day, if you haven't had a spiritual experience, what message are you carrying? So the steps are our message, right? The traditions protect our message and the concepts perpetuate our message, if I'm not mistaken, the way I've heard that before. So, or suicide, homicide, and genocide. You can pick your, with those as well. So, all right. So are you saying business meeting is the same as agenda topics meeting? Let me just see what we got, because we're going to close out. These are questions to ponder as we close out of respect for time. And then if you can stay after, we'll do this. As GSR, I run our monthly meeting. In our meeting, there is a lot of interruptions and lack of control. I try my best, but there are some dominant personalities. I am not very dominant. I have tried to summarize and share Robert rules before our meeting starts. Our meeting is on Zoom right now. Someone asked me to mute everyone and to control comments. I am not really wanting to do this. Is this common? That this is my first experience as GSR. We are new meeting as well. There is no prior GSR. Now, before you answer any of that, because it's 7:28, I will keep these and hold on to these and let you answer this. So the person that asked, please stay after. So we will make sure that we address your questions. But I wanted you guys to make sure if I missed any that you could tell me before you leave. Is there a map of all the service areas in the U.S.? Yes, it is in the service manual. The conference info from the delegate came to me after our business meeting. Now that I have it, do I share it with the group at our next regular meeting? And could I please get the recording? Absolutely. Okay, so I've covered everything I see in the chat. And with my old eyes, sometimes it's hard. I'd want to make sure that I don't skip anything. So hold on to those answers because we got 1 minute and I am not always good at time. So I'm going to try to do the right thing tonight. For those of you that have been with us for 90 minutes already, I understand you may have to leave. Let's go ahead and close. And for those of you that want to stay after and hear the answer to those last couple questions, then please stay with us. Now, it's kind of fitting that we're going to close with the piece that we had scheduled in the format to close with, that that's why I could easily put it in the chat. So the legacy of service. But I've already made the announcements earlier, so I'm not going to make those now. Do you have a home group with a heartbeat? Is it connected to the veins and arteries of Alcoholics Anonymous through its GSR? A GSR carries your home group's vote to the conference. The three-leg group supports having a service commitment at a home group with an active GSR. If you don't already have a home group and are in need of a home group with a GSR, reach out to us at home@thethreeleggroup.com. I would think most of you are here because you do have one that interests you. Do you have a Three Legacy sponsor? The Three Leg Group supports Three Legacy sponsorship and all 36 of our spiritual principles. This includes taking steps 1 through 9, practicing 10, 11, and 12, embracing the traditions for unity, and being considerate of the concepts for service. If you don't already have a sponsor and are in need of a Three Legacy sponsor, or a service sponsor, if you have your recovery sponsor, you can reach out to us at home@thethreeleggroup.com. And we'll close with AA's Legacy of Service by Bill W. in 1951 on page S1 of our current service manual. Our 12-step carrying the message is the basic service that the AA Fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. Therefore, AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither, and those who haven't been given the truth may die. Hence, an AA service is anything whatever that helps us to reach a fellow sufferer, ranging all the way from the 12th step itself to a 10-cent phone call and a cup of coffee. Remember, this was 1951. And to AA's General Service Office for National and International Action. The sum total of all these services is our third legacy of service. And if you'll join me in closing with the responsibility statement. Whew. You want to take us out with that responsibility statement, my dear? Come on.
Of course. Thank you. All right. Who is responsible? I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible.
Now, just address those couple questions that were at the end, and then I'll stop the recording.
So conference topics. Yes, please share with your group as soon as possible. There's a lot to report this year. I hope our GSR emails out the results to our group before we actually go over in our business meeting, because it was a big agenda and they accomplished a lot. And I am hoping that, but I'm letting my GSR do it his way or her way. And we'll see, you know, she's asking for advice and I've given it and we'll see what happens, but I hope that it gets shared with us beforehand. But yes, it's definitely your responsibility as GSR to report back the results that the delegate has reported back to you. So yes, please report that back. Dominant personalities, gotta love them. About the question about basically the business meeting getting out of control a little bit. Ideally, I'm a huge fan of the group conscience, huge fan of it. And so I would like to say, like, well, for me, I would go about it and there's two ways. You can use your delegated authority as the chairperson of your business meeting. Be like, you know what? I've noticed that we have a lot of just like speaking out and doing, you know, just interruptions and things like that, where, you know, when we were meeting in person, that just didn't happen. Like people would wait their turn and, you know, so I'm just going to turn off chat during the business meeting and mute everybody and just see how it goes this month and just see. And then we can discuss it. If the group really hates it, we can go back to how we did it before, but I just want to see if it helps improve the flow of the conversation. And so basically, I mean, I'm a big fan of delegated authority. That is something where Some of you might be like, what the heck does that mean, Heather? And basically that means is I am given authority in direct reflection to my responsibility. So if I am responsible for running the business meeting, I must have the ability to run the business meeting as I see fit.
Concept 10, that's my concept of fun.
I missed that.
Excuse me, I said concept 10. I said concept 10, that's why they're fun. Authority and responsibility matching, exactly.
Yeah, and so like, if you have to run the business meeting, you need to, unless there's group consciences in there that say like, this is exactly how as a group we run our business meeting. If there isn't a, you know, group conscience around that, then you as the chairperson have the ability to do that as you see fit. So there's that. So my thought is let them know like, hey, this is what I plan on doing this business meeting because you put me in charge of this business meeting and I'm struggling with running it, how we have our Zoom set up right now. And so to try to make it function a little better, more like it did when we were in person, I'm just going to try a few new things this month. I'm going to take chat away. Don't worry, I'll give it back at the start of the meeting and I'm just going to harden everybody and do it that way. And if you hate it, let me know, bring it up in new business and we can go from there, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I feel my heart goes out to this person. So we're going to go ahead and stop. That way they can chit chat after if they're still here because they're new on top of it and it's a new group. So a new judge, CSR, trying to find a voice and it's a new group and those dominant personalities. And then what ends up happening, they're upset that the business meeting takes so long, but usually it's because of those kind of things out of control. Yeah. So, all right, let me stop this. Thank you, Heather, so much for being here.